Merry Christmas, Bob Cratchit.
And the same to you, Mr. Fred.
Merry Christmas, Uncle.
I said, Merry Christmas, Uncle.
Humbug.
Christmas a humbug, Uncle. Surely you don't mean that.
I do. What's Christmas but a time for buying things for which you have no need, no money? Time for finding yourself a year older, not an hour richer. If I could work my will, every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips should be boiled in his own pudding and buried with a stake of holly through his heart.
Come now, Uncle.
Nephew, you keep Christmas in your way and let me keep it in mine.
Keep it? But you don't keep it.
Let me leave it alone, then. Much good it may do you. Much good it has done you.
There are a great many things from which I might have derived good, from which I have not profited, I dare say. Christmas among the rest. But I've always thought of Christmas time when it comes round as a good time, a kindly, forgiving, charitable time. A time when men and women seem by one consent to open their shut-up hearts freely to their fellow creatures. And so Uncle Lurt has never put a scrap of gold or silver into my pocket. I do believe that it has done me good. And I say, God bless it.
Not a sound from you. And you'll keep your Christmas by losing your situation.
Welcome to Christmas at the Movies. Come on, let's give God a great big hand. So good to be with you today. Come on, let's just thank Him for being so good. Yeah, all right. Christmas at the Movies. How many of y'all like Christmas movies?
Yeah.
Yeah, my favorite, It's a Wonderful Life. Like that one the best. Second favorite is The Muppet Christmas Carol. How many of y'all like that one? Yeah, now, what you just saw was a clip from The Christmas Carol, the more traditional one. But how many of you are familiar with the story Christmas Carol? How many of you have seen the movie? Okay, seen the movie, this helps me. How many of you actually have read the book? Okay, there's fewer hands. How many of you are very thankful for the movie? Then you don't have to read, no, I'm just kidding, yeah. And so here we go, here's a story today, and we've been unwrapping some Christmas movies and some finding meaning in them, and just really, really enjoy Christmas time. I want to let you know that I like Hallmark movies. I'm not afraid to say it. I'm about six deep right now. About six deep, and I don't know if you've ever seen this one. It's about the executive that goes to their small town. Have you seen that one? Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, maybe you have to watch it yourself. Yeah, there you go. Anyone you watch will have that theme. Come on, somebody. And so here we go, Christmas Carol here. And so it's a story about a guy named Ebenezer Scrooge. Now, this is where we get now, if you know somebody around Christmas time and they're miserly or grumpy, what do we refer them as to?
Scrooge.
Yeah, don't be such a... Yeah, this is where we get it from, right? And this is like, but a humbug. Like, that means like you're miserly, you're deceptive with your words, you're lying to me. And life can come at you that way. So the whole story is about this guy, Ebenezer Scrooge, who lives a very miserly, selfish life, all about gaining finances and wanting more money. And he suffered some hurts in his past, and we're going to kind of uncover some of those. And then he's visited in one night, what we know as Christmas Eve in the story, he's visited by ghosts, the ghost of Christmas past, the ghost of Christmas present, and the ghost of Christmas, there we go. And so it's almost like he had three bad dreams, okay? That's what really, three dreams there. Now, I'm so looking forward to Christmas. Our 2.5-year-old grandson's coming. They're going to be arriving here just really shortly. And he's been dreaming. We got notes. He's dreaming about riding the train at the Monroeville Mall. And like that train must be really huge to him. You know, it must be really, really big. But I'm dreaming about taking him to the train to Monroeville Mall. You know what? I say he can ride as many times as he wants, as long as his dad keeps paying. Come on, somebody. Yeah. And then we're going to go get chocolate and ice cream. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Merry Christmas, one and all. There we go. And back to Scrooge. And so he's getting visited by these ghosts in Christmas past, present, and future. And he's seeing some things differently here. And yeah, this is an old novel, but he's basically had broken relationships, a lonely childhood, some relationships gone by, lonely, financial hardship. All these things formed him into who he is right now, and greed and bitterness and all these things. Let me ask you a question. If you had a second chance, what would you do with it? If you had a second chance to your life, what would you do with that second chance? And as that just settles in, I want to let you know that we serve a God of the second chance. Amen. We serve a God of redemption. We serve a God who redeems broken and bruised things. That's the message of Christmas. A great God redeems. And that's the story of A Christmas Carol. The God of redemption, the God of transformation, the God of all this gives second chances. Now, on your seats when you came in, there was this little card. It's an invitation to tomorrow night's candlelight Christmas service right here. And so I want you to hold this in your hand, and you might be sitting on it, or you dumped it on the floor, or take it off your neighbor. And I want you to think about somebody in your life as you hold this card that could really use a second chance. Maybe their life's broken. Maybe they're feeling lonely. Maybe a close relative or loved one died. They're really feeling it. Or maybe they're experiencing prosperity and everything's fine. How many of y'all know they need Jesus too? And I want, we have about roughly right about 30 hours to invite everybody we can to hear the hope and the redemption of Jesus Christ at Christmas. And I want you either to take a picture of both sides of this and send it to them. That's what I've been doing a lot. Like, hey, reminder, our paths haven't crossed. And other people, I want you to go and invite everybody you can tomorrow night at the Core Event Center for the White Oak campus here. And let's really make it a Christmas to remember. Not only because we light our candle and we remember Jesus for ourselves, but the gospel of Jesus Christ was shared with others. So how many of y'all think of somebody right now that you could invite with this? Just, you got 30 hours. Just take this. And we don't want to see one of these left in here. Let's take it and dare to invite somebody to meet the God of redemption, the God of the second chance. Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord God, for today. God, there is a great, great group of people right here, God, and they want to know you. They want to know the real meaning of Christmas, Lord. And God, they want to invite others. So we just pray for everybody that's going to be invited, and everybody's going to be there tomorrow night at 6:30, Lord. And God, just do what you do best. Be the God of redemption and transformation. And Lord God, I pray that you would grant me the grace today to communicate in such a way that would bring honor to you. And let me communicate in such a way, God, that brings clarity to your purpose for our lives. In the name of Jesus, amen. 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 So here's kind of a big idea today. The big idea is generosity and compassion. See, when Scrooge was living a very miserly, selfish life, and when he gets transformed, which we're going to cover in just a little bit, he becomes very generous and compassionate. And in generosity and being compassionate, isn't that really like the kind of the spirit of Christmas? We all get more generous at Christmas. I mean, I thought the elections were bad, getting texts every 2 minutes about who to vote for. I'm getting texts daily about to give today and why to give today and where to give today. I don't know how they got my number, but they got it. Why? Because Christmas is a time of generosity and a time of compassion. It's a sign of a changed heart. And so when my past is forgiven and redeemed, I can praise God for it when it's redeemed and forgiven. And in my present, I can worship God when I've been given a purpose for living. And then I'm prepared for my future knowing I have a place in heaven. Do you know heaven is where we get to go when we die?
Yes.
That's joyful. Right. That brings us peace. That brings us confidence that this isn't all there is. My past is forgiven. I have a purpose for living. And that's my present here. And I've been prepared for my future. That's the message of Christmas. Okay, back to Scrooge. He goes to sleep. He's in the middle of a dark, dark time. He's in the middle of darkness, miserly, selfish, all these things. And he's visited by different ghosts. Now, the first one was the ghost of Christmas past. And in the midst of darkness, I want to remind us, because even in our culture right now, doesn't it feel kind of gloomy in the world? There's like a gloom. Not here in church. That was your... I think we should have applause signs over here, like blinking, like when, you know, yeah, yeah. But we that gloomy. And so here in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light, and those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. In the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, this is written about Jesus coming to earth. It's a light that's going to shine. And the greatest part about darkness is the darker the darkness, the least amount of light you need to shine. And so even though we live maybe in a culture and world that's kind of dark and gloomy, it doesn't take much light to shine with an invitation. We can shine because Jesus Christ has come. That's the big deal here. And in John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, now you're getting it. Come on. That was the place. I wrote there, pause for applause. I wrote right to pause for applause here. You know, one of the joys of our past is this. You don't have to be haunted by your past.
Right.
We don't have to be haunted with regret and hurt and shame. You see, Jesus came not just to shine a light, say, you're bad. Look what you did. Look what happened to you. No, he shines a light so that we can be forgiven. But God doesn't want us just to cope with our stuff. He wants to free us from our stuff. And the light of Jesus doesn't just shine just to bring out all the evil or bad. He shines so we can have a light, and I don't have to cope anymore. I can be free.
Right.
See, he didn't come just for forgiveness. He came for redemption.
Right.
Redemption is the key here. Redeeming our past for him. So I can praise God for my past when I can celebrate what God has done with his forgiveness, his freedom, his transformation. I was dead, but now I'm alive. And in Ephesians chapter 2, it talks about I was dead in my sin, in my transgression, and I had pain. But there's this moment, it says, but God.
Right. Come
on. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what candlelight is all about. But God. Yeah. Go light that candle. Come on. Am I right? See, but God did this. But Jesus came, and Christmas is our reminder that Jesus came, left the good gig he had up in heaven. He had a pretty good gig going on. He didn't need to come. But we needed him to come so that we could have restored relationship with God the Father. And he shines as a light, and we can follow him and walk in the light. And there's joy in that light. Yes, and we maybe have things that haunt us and things that regrets or whatever that is. Jesus covers it all. That's what Christmas is really about. It's not masking it, it's removing it. Yeah. Ebenezer Scrooge. That was his name in this novel written in the 1800s, which, by the way, was before I was born. Yeah. Now, some of you may have been there. I wasn't, just for the record, okay? And so Ebenezer, and in the Bible, there's this thing in the Old Testament in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 7. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 7. And there's this thing called an Ebenezer, which is really a stone. And in Israel, their hearts were far from God. God's people, their hearts were far from God. They cried out to God for help. And God gave them the victory, miraculous victory. And then they put a rock there, a stone, and they called it an Ebenezer. Okay, in verse 12 in chapter 7, then Samuel took a stone and he set it up, and its name is called Ebenezer. And he said, "Till now the Lord has helped us." Do you know what Christmas is? It's this reminder that God has helped us. It's a reminder we're not alone. The big story about Christmas is God with us. And somehow we can lose that. And today we're being reminded through the Christmas story, my past will not dictate my future. We're going to look at that stone, that Ebenezer. And that's what Christmas is. It's our Ebenezer. And I think it's so interesting that Charles Dickens, the writer of the novel Christmas Carol, chose this name, Ebenezer, that God has helped us. And then it's associated with Scrooge. Right. Like, you don't got to be a Scrooge anymore. No, I know some of you, well, I'm not a Scrooge. Well, I don't know what it is you are, but you don't have to be that anymore. Okay? Just a thought. But because of what Jesus Christ has done, he stepped out of heaven. And in the message that Jesus has for us is God sees, he cares, and he knows. That's Christmas. My God sees, he knows, and he cares. That's the message that we need to stir up. How many of y'all needed to be reminded of that today? I did. I'm first in line. Why? Because we forget. And that's what Christmas is about. It's a reminder of the Ebenezer that we have here. Okay, next ghost, the ghost of Christmas present. The ghost of Christmas present. And this one shows up, and it shows that in the clip there was Bob Cratchit and his son, Tiny Tim. Tim was sick, and he was unto death, and he was having problems, but the ghost of Christmas present showed Ebenezer Scrooge what was going on around him and what he was missing out on. And this is how some of us feel. We feel sometimes, even in a worship service like this, everybody else is worshiping, and they're having fun with God, and we feel on the outside looking in. We say, why are they getting to experience it? And God wants to do a work in our hearts and stir us up and say, you don't got to be on the outside anymore. You don't got to be haunted by your past, or now we can go past that. As a matter of fact, where are all my parents out there? Who's a parent? Where's all the student leaders here? Come on, raise your hand. Okay, I'm going to help you today. There's a 3-point message you can give your kids. It's going to help you. Okay, I want you to say this with me. Say, God is good.
God is good.
That's the first message. Then say, life is hard.
Life is hard.
Okay, but your attitude is a choice. That'll sell. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Yeah, come on, right? And some of you big people needed to hear that today. Yeah, God is good. We need reminded. He came, stepped out, and he came in the midst of my life right here. And yeah, life is hard, but your attitude is a choice. I just gave you your lecture before you take your kids to grandma and grandpa's house. Come on. I gave you your lecture right there. I gave it to you. Okay, write that down. Okay, it's true. But look here. And light transforms. It gives me a purpose for living in my now. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. Who's it given to?
Us.
Yeah. Us. This is speaking in Isaiah about Jesus coming, stepping out of heaven for you and me, right? And he says, and the government will be on his shoulders. Aren't you glad as a believer in Christ, your government doesn't stop at Washington?
Right.
The government is on Jesus' shoulders. He rules. He reigns. He bought it all. And then check this out. It's about to get better here. And he will be called Wonderful, Mighty, Everlasting, Prince of. Now, how many of you know that there's at least one of those you could use a little bit of? How many of you, you could use a little Wonderful Counselor? How many think that at some point in 2025, you're going to need a Wonderful Counselor? Okay. How about a Mighty God, the one who's in charge? Need reminded of that. Yeah, how about like Everlasting Father, the protector, provision, affirmation? That's what a father does, right? How many of y'all need that? His name is Jesus. Come on. Last but not least, how many of y'all could use the Prince of Peace? See, that's Jesus. That's what we get in our present because of him coming and reminds us in our Ebenezer of what we have in him. This is that reminder. And this is the transformation that my past has been forgiven and redeemed, and that the birth of Jesus is not only an accurate history, it's a point of transformation. It's a point of redemption. It's an invitation for that. And I want to let you know, just because you are where you are, that does not define who you are. See, where you are and who you are two separate things.
Right.
Like if I stop at the bakery on the way home, now you know where my mind is. That does not make me a bakery, like a chef. It does not make me a baker. It's where I am. It's not who I am. Yeah. And the reason I'm there is so somebody else can do it. Come on. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, are you tracking me here? See, where you are right now is not who you are. In the present, God wants to transform us and transform our thinking into him in our present. And he completes us with this gift of Jesus at Christmas. Wow is right. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Take that, devil. Come on.
You're going to have to go to Dairy Queen, though, because there's no
baby. Dairy Queen. I could use an ice cream cake right about now. Come on, somebody. Okay, I want to invite you to some spiritual transformation. Now, I want to give you an invitation, and this is going to be right here, an invitation to a time of spiritual transformation. Okay? In the beginning of the year, starting in 2 weeks from today, 2 weeks, I can't believe we're talking about next year already. On a Sunday night, we're going to have these things called worship nights. And on Sunday nights, we're going to get together all at one church in one location, and we're going to worship Jesus at 6 p.m. It's up here. All the info, there's a QR code there. We're going to meet together at 6 p.m. We're going to worship God, and you're going to get an exhortation and direction for your week. Yes, Sunday is going to be the preaching of the word. It's all about freedom. I'm telling you, we're going into a freedom series. You are not going to want to miss the beginning of the year. And then this is going to launch prayer and fasting. And the way we're doing it this year as a church is that we're going to do prayer and fasting on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesdays. So on Sunday night with worship, we're going to kick off worship. We're going to kick off our fasting time. That's why you got to come out. You got to come out. Doesn't matter if the Steelers are playing or not. And from what I've seen, they could use all the prayer and fasting they can get. Come on. Just a thought. And so we're going to kick it off on Sundays, and then we're going to do without food, and we're going to pray. And on the website, there's a lot of resources for fasting. There's videos, there's instructions on different types of fast, and then we're going to be covering these every Sunday night. We're going to give you a short exhortation on those. Not long preaching, but short, like this is what we're doing. We're going to do without food, and we're going to shut our TVs off. That includes Netflix and Hulu and Prime, all of it. Paramount, don't try to get out of that. No, we're going to shut it all down. We're going to get off social media. I mean, I'm believing God, we're going to get off the news for 3 days. But I won't be able to see the weather. Okay. Ask somebody at Sheetz. They will tell you the weather, okay? I'm serious. We're going to take Mondays, and then on Wednesday, so we kick it off Sunday night. We fast all the way to Wednesday, and then at each campus, so like right here at White Oak, you're going to get together on Wednesdays, and we're going to have a prayer meeting. And that concludes the fast. See, we're giving you three days to focus, 3 days to recenter our lives, 3 days to be transformed. And so you got to get that QR code there. And here it is at all campuses, there's going to be prayer. As a matter of fact, if you start fasting on Sunday and you can't make prayer on Wednesday, you have to keep fasting till the following week. Okay? Now, if you need help, and I'm being honest now, if you need help with getting your prayer list and the resources with the QR code, maybe you don't have access to that and you can't print at home, if you will stop at our connection point outside as you leave, there's very nice people there. Amen. And they will help you. And I'm being honest, they will give you the resources. They will give you hard copies. They will give you, so I want everybody, listen, we can do this. Last but not least, I have one more big ask of you. On that website, on there, there's reading the Bible through in a year plans. There's a 7-day-a-week plan, a 6-day-a-week plan, and a 5-day-a-week plan. 2 years ago, I jumped in. I did six days a week to get through the Bible in a year. That way, if I miss one, I'm covered. Come on, somebody. This year, I'm doing a 5-day-a-week. You know, just with the way my schedule is and the way I work, my Monday through Friday is different than Saturdays and Sundays in my world, so it helps me. And I'm asking you, people in this room right now, you've bought into, you can't read the Bible and understand it, and you'd never be able to do this. I want to tell you, that's a lie. You can understand the Bible. You can read the Bible. As a matter of fact, if you'll do it like I do, read one page at a time, you can actually get through that Bible in a year. No, I'm telling you, you can. What would be the worst thing that would happen if you would read the Bible through in a year? What would be the worst thing? You would figure out what a Leviticus is. The worst thing that would happen is you would know where Obadiah is. You would discover Nahum. That's the worst thing, am I right? Would you be any worse if you read the Bible through in a year? So why not? This is what I do. I go and I start mine in October. I'm old school. I hit print. I just like it better that way. You know why? Because I like to see progress. And so every day when I'm done reading, I get a pen out, you know, the kind with ink. And I just scratch off that day and I keep track. And so I know I'm making progress. Yesterday morning, my wife said, "Did you get your reading in?" I'm like, "Oh my goodness." She says, "Yes." Because we're working, making sure we can work together. See, it helps when you have somebody with you. You can do this. And if you need a plan, you don't know how to print one, we want to help you. Why? Because we can change the situation in our lives with the Word of God, with fasting and seeing Him as a wonderful counselor, a Prince of Peace, an everlasting God. Come on, a mighty God, everlasting Father. Okay, that was my infomercial. How many of y'all, was that a good one? Come on. So we don't need to be haunted by our past. I've been forgiven and redeemed. My present, I'm living with purpose, and I'm going to see this child. And then the future, the ghost of Christmas future. And while Scrooge is still sleeping, the ghost shows up and shows him what his future looks like, where nobody cares if he dies. And Tim, who was sick, he's gone. And it shows him all this wicked stuff. You don't have to be haunted in your future when we have Jesus Christ. Why? Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice, with righteousness. From this time forward, check this out, from this time forth and forevermore, I have a place in heaven that changes everything. Come on, heaven should excite us. My future excites me, not because of anything I get under the tree. It's because Jesus is a God of transformation. And God wants to transform my future. And so the way he transforms my future by changing me today, removes me from the past, changes my today, and he gives me a future and a hope. Check this out, Ezekiel 36. And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. I will put with. God wants to give a new heart and a new spirit within you. Not only does he want to do things to you and for you, he wants to do it inside of you. That's Christmas. That's the Ebenezer we've been looking for. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Like our heart, like listen, just because we're going through hard times doesn't mean we have to get a hard heart. Right. God is good. Life is hard, but my attitude is my response. Just like my past has been forgiven and redeemed. My present, I have a purpose for living. And my future, I have a place with him. My future's been satisfied. This is Christmas. And this is what God is reminding us of. He's removing these things. And he wants to do it in unique and different ways if we'll just reflect. I've been trying to slow down every morning. And I've been just sitting. Matter of fact, I got up super, super early today. And I just sat. And just the tree lights on. I just wanted to still my heart. I wanted to still my focus. I wanted to still, every day I'm trying to still my heart, slow it down, slow my heart rate down, just to see him and experience him in a great new way. How many of y'all, maybe that was for you today? Just slowing down here. And the one quote that Ebenezer Scrooge has here is, I will honor Christmas in my heart and try to keep it all the year. I will live in the past, the present, and the future. The spirits of all three will strive within me. I will not shut out the lessons that they teach. When Ebenezer Scrooge had transformation, he became generous and compassionate. With a past that's been forgiven and redeemed, a present purpose being completion to worship God with, and his future now is going to be different. Let's now take a look at what happens right after the transformation. Scrooge wakes up and goes back to his office with Bob Cratchit. Let's take a look together.
Late again, eh, Cratchit? You'll see about this. Cratchit!
Here, sir.
Do you know what time it is?
Yes, sir.
What time is it?
18 minutes past the hour, sir.
18 and a half minutes past the hour. What do you mean, coming here at this time of day?
I'm sorry, sir. I am behind my time.
Yes, I think you are. Step this way, sir, if you will, please.
It's only once a year, sir. It shall not be repeated. I was making rather merry yesterday.
Well, I'll tell you, my friend, I'm not going to stand for this any longer. Therefore, I am going to double your salary.
Double my salary, sir?
Yes, Bob. A Merry Christmas to you. I'll double your salary for a start, and I'll endeavor to assist your family in any way I can. And Tim will walk again and grow stronger and stronger upon my life, he will. Well, we'll discuss the particulars this afternoon over a Christmas bowl. What's the matter with you?
Nothing, sir. Well, it's just that... Nothing. Thank you, sir.
My good fellow. Make up the fire before we freeze to death. Buy some more coal. Before you dot another I, Bob Cratchit.
Yes, sir.
Ebenezer Scrooge was better than his word. He became as good a friend, as good a master, as good a man as the old city knew. And to Tiny Tim, who did not die, he was a second father. It was said of Ebenezer Scrooge that he knew how to keep Christmas well, if any man alive possessed the knowledge. May that be truly said of us, and all of us. And so, as Tiny Tim observed, God bless us. Everyone.
Hey, stand to your feet with me today. That's a picture of true transformation. It happens from the inside out. It's not because of what's happening to me. It's what happens inside of me. That we really can be reminded that God is a God that covers our past and redeems and transforms. And he's transforming my present. And he's redeeming our future. How many of y'all are just so thankful for that reminder? How many of y'all needed that reminder today? I did. So Heavenly Father, I pray for this great, great group of people, Lord. And God, help us remember. Help us remember this Ebenezer moment, Lord, where God, we were going to be defeated, but now we're going to be reminded of victory. Let Christmas, let this whole week be a reminder of victory. I pray for every person here today that's experiencing loneliness or sadness or bitterness. Let their hearts, in some moment this week, let their hearts be changed and transformed. Let their hearts, Lord God, be softened by you and your grace and mercy. You do it, God, whatever way you see fit. Just go ahead and do it at some point in the next 7 days, Lord God. Let it be so. Let hearts be changed. If you're here today and you do not have a personal relationship with God the Father by what Jesus Christ has done, I didn't say that you believe in God, but that you have a relationship, that you came to a place of transformation, just like Ebenezer Scrooge did. A place where Jesus Christ, you ask him to forgive you of the sin of your past, some sins done by you, some done to you. But ask him to forgive. And then ask Jesus to be the leader of your life so you can walk with light into your future. If you don't have a day, a moment, or time, we want to offer you this relationship where Jesus Christ can come into your heart and into your life and transform from the inside out. So right now in this moment of prayer, I just want to offer you this opportunity to respond joyfully and before God your Father If that's you and you want this relationship, you want this forgiveness, this transformation, this redemption, I just want you just to slip up your hand right where you are. We just want to pray for you. Is there anybody here today? Thank you. Thank you very much. Anybody else? Anybody else today? Hallelujah. Anybody else? Heavenly Father, we thank you for transformation. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for new hearts.